the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, we have begun our prayer, as always, with that act of faith. I firmly believe that you are here. And no matter where each one of us is, you are here. We could be in a church, in our car, in a bus, in a quiet room at home doing our prayer. You are everywhere. You are in our soul in the state of grace. I firmly believe that you are here, and help me now to pray well. We have asked again, as we always do, for grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. And first, help us to make it a time of prayer, which means listening to you, to your promptings, to whatever you have to tell us today. We begin our prayer going to the Holy Spirit, who comes down upon the apostles at Pentecost in those tongues of fire, which symbolize the love that the Holy Spirit is. He is the love between the Father and the Son. And often in attempts to describe the Blessed Trinity, they begin by saying that the Father and the Son love each other. They love each other infinitely. And their love is a third divine person, the Holy Spirit. God is love, as St. John tells us in his first letter. The Holy Spirit is love, is the love between the Father and the Son. And the Holy Spirit comes down upon the apostles and comes down upon us too. In baptism, we receive the indwelling of the Blessed Trinity. And now we ask the Holy Spirit, fill me with your love. We pray that prayer to the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful. Enkindle in them the fire of thy love. And we can personalize that prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, fill me, enkindle in me the fire of your love. And that prayer goes on to say, and they shall renew the face of the earth, that we can contribute to bringing love into this loveless, godless world. Lord, help us to bring love into this world because we have received love. We open the letter of St. Paul to the fifth chapter, and familiar words, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. The love of God has been poured into our hearts. And as we say, given to us in baptism, given to us whenever we receive sanctifying grace. And Lord, you yourself tell the apostles, and you tell us personally about your loving us and inviting us to love our neighbor. We go to the 15th chapter of St. John's Gospel. Lord, you are in the Last Supper with the apostles, and you tell them, and again, let us personalize. You tell me, you tell each one of us, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. Lord, you have received the Father's love, which is infinite. You have passed that on to each one of us. Help us to live in your love. And now you tell us how we can do that. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And keeping the commandments is not only focusing on the Ten Commandments and any particular sins we might have committed against them, but going beyond that to listening to the subtle promptings of the Holy Spirit in our soul throughout the day, when he is whispering or perhaps shouting at us, come on, start that job, do that little penance, talk with that friend, start your prayer, don't check your emails yet again on your mobile phone, or your messages, or the news, or go onto the social media when you should be doing something else. This is following your commandments. This is following those promptings of the Holy Spirit. In that way, we show you that we love you. St. Alphonsus says, all of holiness consists in the love of God, and all of the love of God consists in doing his will. Doing your will. That is love, and that is to keep your commandments. And then you go on to say, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. You want us to be happy. You are happy. You want us to have that joy that you have. Help us to love you, to keep your commandments, to follow those promptings of the Holy Spirit, and that we will have that joy. If we think of it in another way, the saints are the happiest people. They're closer to God. They're filled with God's love. A person in love is happy. We see that in human relationships. Help us to have that joy by having that fullness of love that you give us and living by it. And then you go on to say, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. You invite us to love our neighbor, but you say, as I have loved you, and you loved us to the end. You gave everything for us. You died on the cross, and you suffered so much before and during your crucifixion. You love to the end. You go on to say immediately afterwards in the Last Supper, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You lay down your life for us, who were really not your friends, but estranged from you by original sin. And you invite us to love one another as you have loved us. Lord, you have loved each one of us, no matter who we are, no matter how many sins we have committed. You love everyone. You love the sinner. You forgave so many sinners. You loved the non-Jews. You loved everyone, rich and poor, Jews and Gentiles, everyone. And you still do that. And we can say personally, you love me. Help me to love others as you have loved me. And now we can open St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, and again those familiar words in the 13th chapter. A checklist of characteristics of love. Love is patient and kind. How patient am I with those in my family? With people in the shops, with someone at work, with drivers on the road, people that try our patience. Help me to be more patient. That is what love is. How kind am I? That beautiful word, kindness. And we know what a kind person is. It's the opposite of rude. Kindness is smiling, is having affection for others, is being concerned about them and asking them how they are, is helping them in whatever way we can. Am I a kind person? And Lord, help me to be more kind. Love is not jealous or boastful. And here we can see two dispositions, attitudes, perhaps at opposite ends of a spectrum. Love is not jealous. Here we look at other people who have more than we do, and we are sad because of what they have and we don't have. Perhaps they have more friends. Perhaps they are more intelligent. Perhaps they have more money, a bigger house. Perhaps they can travel. And all of these things we have less of or none at all. We envy them. We are looking up at others from down below with that sadness of jealousy. At the other end of that spectrum, love is not boastful. Here we are full of ourselves, of all of our accomplishments, of all of our talents, and perhaps even virtues, and we boast about them to others. We make sure that they know what we are doing. And Lord, help us not to boast. That is so unpleasant when we see it in someone else. It is not arrogant or rude. Arrogant. How distasteful an arrogant person is, lording it over others. Sometimes bossy. Lord, help us not to be arrogant, proud, filled with ourselves. It is not rude. Lord, help us not to be rude to anyone. That other driver, that person that tries our patience, to respond in a Christian, loving, kind way. Love does not insist on its own way. How often we insist on our own way. We want the others to do what we want. Lord, help us not to insist on our own way, but to do what the others want, to seek what they want, to help them. It is not irritable or resentful. How often we can be irritable with others, angry, upset by various things. Or resentful. We resent what they said, what they did, or what they didn't say or didn't do. And Lord, the more we love, the more we are aware that you have loved us to the end, the more love fuels our soul, the more easy it will be to live these various characteristics of love. St. Paul goes on, it does not rejoice at wrong, but rejoices in the right, rejoicing in what is good, what is wholesome, what is beautiful in this world. Let us find the goodness in others, in situations, and then have that joy so that we do not rejoice at wrong, but rejoice in the right, in what is good. And then, by way of summary, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And that is what love does. It bears all things, the difficult people, the difficult situations. It believes all things, what we are called to believe, what is right and true. Hopes all things, that in this desperate situation in which we find ourselves at times, hope in God who is with us. It endures all things. We can put up with so much more when we are loving. And finally, love never ends. And how true this is, that when we love God, when we love others, we will go to heaven. And not even in heaven will love end. Of the three theological virtues that St. Paul has mentioned here, faith, hope, and love, the one that endures is love. In heaven, we can love God with our whole heart and soul and mind and strength and love everyone else. Hope and faith we won't need when we get to heaven. Lord, help me to understand how much you love me, how much the Holy Spirit has filled me with his love, so that I can be a more loving person myself. And as we continue our prayer, I would like to draw some thoughts from a letter of the prelate of Opus Dei, Fernando O'Cardiff, written in February of 2023. One can find it on the net at the website of Opus Dei. He has some beautiful words, and he draws himself often on Saint Jose Maria. The first characteristic of love that he gives us is understanding. To understand that other person with whom we disagree, to try to understand that other person that we find difficult, to understand where they are coming from, why they are difficult. It might be that they're sick. It might be some problem that they've had in their childhood. To be more understanding. And Fernando O'Cardiff writes, "The word understanding in the context of personal relationships could sometimes evoke only one of its aspects, that of not being surprised by others' defects and faults. But if this were the case, we would not fully grasp the meaning of that point from the way. Charity does not consist so much in giving as in understanding. And if we understand understanding as not being surprised by others' defects and faults, we are focusing on defects and faults. And we say, oh, that person is the way they are. They've always been that way. I can understand that. I'm not surprised. That's just the way they are. And in a sense, we write them off. But the prelate goes on, the understanding that is the fruit of charity, of love, is comprehensive. It sees, first of all, not the defects or faults, but the virtues and good qualities of others. And that turns it around. We will see the defects and the faults. Everyone has them. We have them. Perhaps we try the patience of others too. But we are invited here not to focus on the defects, but on the virtues, the good qualities of others. Those same people that try our patience, that have those defects, have so many virtues too. Help us to focus on them. And Don Fernando goes on, I remember a meditation preached by Don Javier, his predecessor as prelate of Opus Dei, on the 26th of August, 1999. He forcefully and affectionately exhorted us, quote, not to see people through their defects, but through their virtues. And he goes on, love makes us see with joy what is positive in others. We need to rejoice in the prosperity of our neighbor as well as in our own. This is the complete opposite of seeing others with that dark sin of envy, which is sadness for the good others possess. Lord, help us to be more understanding, to see the goodness, to see the virtues in others, overlooking their defects, which are there, but don't focus on them. Overlook them, focus on their virtues, on their good qualities, and then it makes it easier for us to love them. Another characteristic of love that the prelate speaks of in that letter is forgiveness. And he writes, understanding also has a close relationship with the extraordinarily important reality of forgiveness. Both asking for forgiveness and forgiving. And let us pause there. Asking for forgiveness. Apologizing. We have offended people. Something we said, something we did, something that we omitted to do that we should have done, And we ask them, I'm sorry. We apologize. We ask them to forgive us. It is difficult to do at times, but it helps to smooth over the hurt that we had caused. At the same time, forgiving. Others have hurt us. They apologize to us, and we say, don't worry, it's nothing. I forgive you. And let it be the case that we forgive them as we pray in the Our Father. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. The letter goes on. In April 1974, Saint Jose Maria told us that the most divine reality in our life as Christians, as children of God in Opus Dei, is to forgive those who have hurt us. The most divine reality, to forgive as God forgives us. And then he added, with great simplicity, I have not needed to learn to forgive because our Lord has taught me how to love. And again, we can focus on that and think, the more we love God, the more we love our neighbor, the more easy it is to overlook their faults and to forgive them if they have done something against us. We don't give it any importance. We are not focused on ourselves. We're focused on God, and we are loving others. And let us repeat these words of Saint Jose Maria. I have not needed to learn to forgive because our Lord has taught me how to love. And we can say, Lord, teach me to love so that I can forgive more readily. The letter goes on, among the many consequences and manifestations of divine filiation, that is to say, of knowing that we are children of a Father God, perhaps we would not spontaneously think first of forgiveness. Nevertheless, we realize that being children of God means being Christ, identifying ourselves with Him. Let us pause there. We are children of God. God is our Father. We are His children. Then we are Christ because Christ is the Son of God. And we are baptized into Christ. We become members of His mystical body. And therefore this is reinforced that we are children of God and we are Christ. And he goes on, and Christ came into this world. The eternal Son became man precisely in order to forgive. Lord, you came to redeem us, to forgive us, to reconcile us with the Father. And you forgave so many people in the Gospels, that paralytic that they lowered through the roof. And the first thing you said to him was, your sins are forgiven. That woman caught in adultery. You gave us the sacrament of forgiveness, the sacrament of penance. Forgiveness. This is why you came. We are children of God. We are Christ. Lord, help us to be more forgiving. And then the letter continues. Therefore, we can reflect on the fact that nothing makes us more like God than being ready to forgive. God forgives. He always forgives us if we are sorry, no matter what we have done. And when St. Peter asked him, how many times must I forgive my brother? Up to 7 times. You answered, I say, not 7, but 77 times. And 7 in the Hebrew culture was the number of plenitude, of fullness. 77 times simply means always. How often must I forgive my brother? Always. And even if he's not sorry, we will still forgive him. Just as Jesus, you on the cross, when those soldiers and others were taunting you, mocking you, come down from the cross if you are God. And they had treated you so roughly beforehand, and you forgave them. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Help us to be more forgiving. And then another aspect of love, spirit of service. And we read in the letter, The greatest ambition of the children of God in Opus Dei, and all of us, must always be to serve. We understand very well St. Josemaria's insistence when we read and meditate on our Lord's words, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve." And he said too, "I am among you as the one who serves." To love is to help the others around us, is to serve them, to go out of our way, to think first of them and not of ourselves. And the letter continues, "The spirit of service is an expression of love, of the affection of seeing the needs of the others as very much our own." How forceful are St. Josemaria's words. "I do not mind repeating it many times. Everyone needs affection, and we too need it. Strive so that without sentimentality, your affection for your neighbors may always increase. Any concern of a child of mine must be truly very much our own. The day we live as strangers or as indifferent to one another, we have killed Opus Dei." And while this letter is written primarily to members of Opus Dei, it is written for everyone. It is on the net for everyone. And if we live as strangers or indifferent to one another in our family, in our workplace, in our neighborhood, we have killed that relationship. We can't be indifferent. We can't be strangers. We take others' needs as our own. We show them affection. We are there for them. We serve them, starting in our families, spending time with each one, parents with their children, children with one another, each child with their parents, getting to know them, getting to know their needs, helping them in their needs, but just listening to them is already helping them. Serving them when they are not well, when they are sick in bed, helping out in the kitchen, helping out in the garden, whatever needs to be done, we are there to serve like our Lord. We finish our prayer and we ask Our Lady, "Mary, you received the love of God in the Annunciation when the Holy Spirit came upon you. You had received that love in a real sense when you were conceived in the womb of your mother Anne. You were conceived immaculate, without the stain of original sin, and therefore full of God's life within you. You lived a life of love. We see that when you visit Elizabeth. You are carrying Jesus in your own womb, and you travel that long distance from Galilee to the hill country of Judea, and spend not 3 days, not 3 weeks, but 3 months helping her until the birth of John the Baptist. You were there at the cross. Everywhere we see you, Mary, loving others. Help us to be more loving. Help me to be aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit who has been poured into my heart to be a more loving person. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.